In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, for my sermon today, I would like to take you to that room where the apostles were waiting in deep prayer for the coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday. I know we already started the novena that started on Friday, and we're going to pray the prayers for the third day of the novena today after Mass. But I would like to, again, have you be there in spirit to try to absorb some of that spirit that the apostles had during those 9 days in between our Lord ascending into heaven and the Holy Ghost coming down upon the apostles. The apostles were gathered in the same upper room where our Lord had celebrated the Last Supper with them and instituted the Holy Eucharist, ordained them priests, and gave them Holy Communion. So that's where they went back to during these 9 days of patiently waiting and, yes, being fearful. So they went back to that same room. So it was a very sacred spot, as we can well imagine. I remember in 2015 when I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land with Mr. Steve Waco. We try to, of course, in 5 days, visit as much of the sacred places in the Holy Land as we could. And actually, it was the last day, it's Friday, and that evening at about 11:30, we were going to be flying back to New York. So again, trying to take in as much of Jerusalem as we could, and we actually did get to the upper room where our Lord had the Last Supper, where the apostles were waiting in prayer. Unfortunately, it was locked. And very strict observance of the Sabbath begins on the Friday evening there in Israel. So we were right outside of it, but couldn't go inside. One of the sacrifices you have to offer up, you can't do everything. We did get to, of course, the most special places. Well, I mean, to other very special places, Calvary, the place of our Lord's resurrection, place of our Lord's birth, where the angel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady. So very grateful for the places that we were able to visit. As we reflected on Ascension Thursday, the apostles were filled with joy that our Lord was going to receive his reward, but they, from that moment on, did not have the sensible presence of our Lord anymore. It was a true loss for them. And our Lord could have given them all of the graces that they needed, all of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, but he told them to wait for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. Why was that? I am sure that it was because our Lord wanted them to not forget about the third person of the Holy Trinity. He has been sometimes called the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity. We think of the Father and the Son often enough. For example, in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." We think of Jesus. We know that he's our Redeemer, our Savior. But what about the Holy Ghost? See, there can be that tendency to forget this third person who is equal to the Father in to the Son in every way except for their relationship. Well, that's what makes them different. But they are equal to each other. So our Lord, instead of completing everything with them and then ascending into heaven, he said, go and pray and wait for the Holy Ghost to come upon you. So hence the 9 days of intense prayer. That was, you could say, the main thing that was going on. They were preparing their hearts. Even though our Lord had instructed them for 3 years, had obviously done so much for them, had instituted the seven sacraments, that was for certainly done before our Lord ascended into heaven. Nevertheless, they had to still do that spiritual preparation to get the seven gifts in a greater measure than ever before. And they were growing in their devotion to the Holy Ghost. So this is what the church wants us to be doing ourselves, to be growing in our devotion to the third person of the Holy Trinity. As I said earlier, they are equal to each other. This is the divine mystery of the Holy Trinity, but we believe it even though we can never fully understand it, how there are three persons in one God. They work together in everything, but we ascribe certain spiritual work to each one of them. We think of the Father creating, we think of the Son redeeming, and we think of the Holy Ghost as sanctifying. So the apostles were not ready to go forth. They were feeling their human weakness and frailty and human fear. Our Lord had told them at the Last Supper, you're going to suffer. I mean, all the apostles died as martyrs eventually. St. John actually didn't die in martyrdom, but they tried to martyr him as we reflected on his feast this past May 6th, St. John at before the Latin Gate. So St. John was ready to undergo that death that our Lord was talking about. They will expel you from the synagogues. The hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. There's the mark, by the way, of the true church, that it's persecuted. If it's accepted and loved by the world, then it's not the church of Christ. That's why we don't go looking for the approval of the world, of the unbelievers. They won't approve. They won't support what we're doing. And we should not be surprised when that persecution happens in whatever form. So the apostles had this same fear, they felt their human frailty, but there was a transformation that happened on Pentecost when they went forth, reinforced, confirmed, not by they had already received the sacrament of confirmation, I believe, but they had received that great increase of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, where they fearlessly, courageously, and perseveringly went out and preached the truth. They preached what Christ had revealed. So that goes to show what the gifts of the Holy Ghost do for us. I love that analogy that Cardinal Billot, the great French theologian who was made a cardinal by Pope St. Pius X, his analogy regarding the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And he says that when we are practicing virtue in our daily life, you know, that daily effort, especially for the four cardinal virtues, to practice prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. We're like the person in the rowboat after trying to get across a very wide expanse of sea, which has its storms, trying to row our way across. It's very daunting. However, he says, we have seven sails in this boat, in the ship of our soul, making it across the sea of life. And the wind doesn't always blow, does it? but we want our sails to always be ready to receive that divine wind. So that's what the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost are. They act in a way that transcends our human effort. And when you have the wind blowing in the sails, you don't even need to row, or you hardly need to row. But you know that time will come when the wind will die down, and it's back to that daily effort. So this is what the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost do for us. They transcend our human abilities. We have beautiful reflections on these seven gifts and on the fruits of the Holy Ghost in the Pentecost Novena prayer. So I hope that you are all praying that. There's copies available in the vestibule. Again, beautiful readings on those seven gifts, what they mean, how they help us, how they transcend our human limitations and help us to do the greatest things possible. So that's what the apostles, again, were doing, praying, persevering. And look at the epistle for today, what St. Peter tells us to do. By the way, the Acts of the Apostles tells us he did his first papal act during these 9 days. There in the upper room, he had the apostles vote on a replacement for Judas. And what I find so fascinating about this is that our Lord could have taken care of this during the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. You would have thought that our Lord, who had called Judas and who so terribly ended up, that our Lord would have made the appointment of a replacement. But to me, this shows, I'm sure we would all agree, this shows our Lord saying to St. Peter, who he made the first pope, I'm leaving a lot up to you. You're going to be acting in my name. And remember, a true pope will always act in a way that safeguards the faith in his official teaching and ruling. A true pope will. False popes won't. So there was St. Peter's first papal act. I imagine he could have even himself appointed the replacement for Judas, but he did the prudent thing. He said, let's have an election. They prayed, they cast votes, and instead of Barsabbas being elected as a replacement for Judas, it was Matthias, and now the number of 12 apostles was complete again. And this was before St. Paul converted. He was not in the picture yet. But what else does St. Peter say? Have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. And that holds true for us as well. How well are we striving for not just occasional? St. Peter uses the word constant charity, doing the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy for each other, helping each other not only in body, but in soul. Charity covers a multitude of sins. The more you've sinned and offended God, the more charity you need to practice so that you can cover that sinfulness with something that's so pleasing to God. A supernatural charity, motivated not just out of humanitarianism or just to be nice, but no, motivated by the love of God, which overflows into love of neighbor. And one last point as we reflect upon what was happening during those 9 days in the upper room, where again our Lord gave them the sacraments of Holy Eucharist and priesthood, and where the Holy Ghost would come upon them, what else is a very key point to be aware of? The Acts of the Apostles tells them the mother of Jesus was there. How crucial, how critical it is that we have a great devotion to Mary. And she was there. She was left behind. How that must have been difficult for her to be separated from Jesus, but it's a sacrifice that she accepted to help the early church to get on its feet soundly, so to speak. Yes, they had the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost. They had the teachings of our Lord. They had all these means of grace, but Jesus left his mother there. And even though she would be assumed into heaven a few years later, remember, she is morally and spiritually present to all of us as our spiritual mother to help us through the trials and tribulations of life. There's a wonderful reading from Mother Mary Potter, and it'll probably make you end up cleaning out all of the few copies of the Ad Sum that's there, but there's quite a beautiful extract about from the Path of Mary by Mother Mary Potter, and she talks about why was St. John able to come back and stand at the foot of the cross when even he and the other apostles fled, because he was with Mary. So again, wonderful reflection. So be with that mother of Jesus. Ask her to help you prepare for the Holy Ghost, for an increase in the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost this Pentecost Sunday, as you prayerfully go through these 9 days of prayer in union with the apostles. And again, praying for that increase in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which, of course, we are all standing so much in need of. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.